Blog Talk Radio.
If you have patience with me for about a month, I will have you so smart. Yes, I will have you so smart that you can tie them around your fingers.
Mr. Muhammad, while we're talking about this very unique proposition of yours as expressed in the message to the black man and, of course, in all your philosophy, it's interesting to note that Abraham Lincoln once proposed or thought that all Negroes perhaps for their own best interest should be moved to a separate state. And Garvey, a great leader of the Negroes many, many years ago, proposed that the Negroes have their own state. He was never too successful. And if I remember correctly, the communists in the early 30s at the height of the Depression urged that the Negroes be given their own state in an effort to capitalize on their following, I presume. None of these ever came to fruition or were ever successful or ever interested too many Negroes. How do you figure that you today can get Negroes to leave this country of theirs and go elsewhere?
Well, I will not have any power to do, I don't have any power, to do any more than those teachers that preceded me on the same subject. I myself don't have any power of myself to bring about such change. But God is with me to bring it about. The time is with me.
How has your God, Allah, manifested himself in this presentation?
He have manifested himself in the person of a man and with the knowledge of the end of the history that we has been in service to white people and the time that we should be separated from them. This knowledge was given by him. And he is the one that is backing it up. It is not me. I don't want you to look at me as nothing but a messenger. That's all I am, just a messenger to tell you what someone said to me. This law that I have said to you concerning the separation, it is not, say, contrary to prophecy, the sayings of the prophets concerning a separation of the slave and his master. It is not contrary. But where I come in at there of asking you, if you would like to do something for yourself in admitting this justice from yourself, as this is nothing but justice, to give the slave something to go with if you have freedom. That America has never done for us. Our parents was never given anything to go for self. Now, the time have come that God himself will intervene to separate the so-called Negro or the lost members of their people, the black nation of the earth, from their once slave masters. This is the time, according to the prophetic sayings and writings of prophets, that we must be separated.
I just want to ask you one question along the separation theory before we move on. There are approximately 22 million Negroes in the United States.
Yes.
There's an estimated 100,000 members of these who belong to your sect. Now, how can you expect 100,000 to dominate 22 million who don't feel the same way that you do?
Oh, Mr. Cupps, the number doesn't mean anything. We have history dating back that just a less people than that. Even the people that dominated in the world today, your own race, they was not started with even 100,000. Only 59,000 was used to make your own world. It don't make any difference about the number. It's only the one that believing in the honest about accomplishing the aim and the purpose.
If you had your choice of territory in this country, where would you select?
Well, I'm not saying, as I have said time and again, I will not say where I would like to have a room in your house before ever you are willing to give me a room there.
Mr. Muhammad, in your book, you also say that war between the non-whites and the whites is inevitable.
If you will permit me, Mr. Cup, I would like to go back here to this separation. Again.
All right.
We often has been misunderstood on this. We know that the prophet says that we should be returned or will be returned to our own. But I have said here in this book, and almost weekly I'm saying something about it, that if America wants to ease their troubles, as this is the trouble that she is confronted with, it is her slave. I don't care what someone might say or may say about the problem, but the problem of America, it is her slave. And the solution has been given. And this is just only a little twist of the solution that I am presenting to America today. That instead of all of this, I would say, mistreating the poor man, crying out today for more justice and better justice, better recognition, put him over here in some place. You have a house big enough to do so. Put him over here someplace to himself, regardless to what he says. You know the truth. You know that he should be somewhere to himself, because you will never agree to all that he demands you of. You cannot do so unless you want to become a subject slave yourself, or that you want to get in the same status that your slave is in, to yield to all of his demands. That is trying to respect a once slave as your equal. You can't do that and keep your respect in the world of civilized nations. But you can, I should say, stop trying to force the ideal in the slave, that he is as good, he is as honored, he is as much as the master. This cannot be accepted as true, even from the master.
Would you deny?
Given, if you will just permit me, I will give you a chance. Then. By giving him a chance to sit in the house with you, and talk with you and your family, or even marry your sons and daughters, that's not yet making him your equal. Or to prepare in your laboratories jobs for him, factories, build factories, to give him a job, keep him at work. That is not making him your equal yet. He's still unequal. And it's a real ignorant thing to say he's my equal because I give him a social status with me. This is bad on the white man's part even to offer his slave integration in marriage, intermarriage. It only makes him worse in the eyes of the world, and his intelligence is now has been lost. And his decency of his society is lost, even by just offering the slave such opportunity. But if he would go and offer his slave a place over here to himself, say, boy, you have allowed me to use this slave. Boy, you have been a good old plowboy for me. Now I'm going to let you plow for yourself. Here's a mule. Here's a plow. I will furnish you plow tools until that you are able to pay for them or make them yourself.
You don't think that the white man really thinks of the Negro as boy anymore, that this era
that
has
allow
passed
me
so
to
many
use the word,
ago.
But he still calls them boys in many parts of the country.
You still refuse to acknowledge, though, that the tremendous progress of any number of Negroes in all the arts, in all the political world, in all the sports world, in the entertainment world, in education, these people are not the equal of the whites with their tremendous success?
Well, if he has made progress in the way of civilization for the white man or in the civilization of the white man, well, why object then to him going doing this for himself? Let him make a way for now for himself.
But don't you feel, Mr. Muhammad, that this success is generated among the Negro youth who look up to these people as idols? And they themselves take their place in the society as successful people, inspired by their own people who have made successes?
Until he learned the truth. When he learned the truth of himself and of those who that he is worshiping, then he will go for himself, as I have the spirit to go for myself. I don't want to be a slave for you. I don't want you to use me as a servant. I want to be my independent self. I want some of this earth for my people like you. You came here and taken it by the knowledge and power of your own fathers from the Indian, and you made a great country out of it. Then you goes back to my country and brings us here to serve you as a slave, free labor. For 300 years we have did that for you. Willingly or unwillingly, we did so, and our fathers. Now, for 100 years, you say we are free, and 100 years we are not free. We are so blind, deaf, and dumb, we still look forward to you to make our clothes for us, get the cotton and the wool, go and put it through the mills, and make cloth out of it. For us, and we're still sitting looking at you do all of this for us.
Mr. Muhammad, if you'll pardon me, I must say that your interpretation of the Negro is far different than mine. You sound more like Governor Wallace when you say the Negro is deaf, dumb, and blind. You don't want to be linked with Governor Wallace as one of the outstanding races.
No, I say that because God himself said it. It's written in the Bible in Quran. Wallace didn't write this.
No, but he announces and enunciates the same principle that you're enunciating.
Well,
the Negro is dumb.
Well,
not
he's saying
to
what God in the Bible says.
Well,
your Bible says that we are blind, deaf, and dumb, and even dead.
Well, many people certainly will disagree with anything that the Wallace
Well, they disagree with God in the prophets then.
Only in your Bible, not in any other Bible.
It's in your Bible.
That the Negro is dumb and
blind? I got mine from you.
We'll have to pause here a moment, Mr. Muhammad, for a message, and we'll be right back. Mr. Muhammad, I know you want to say a few more words before on separation before we go into another subject.
Yes, Mr. Cuff, I'm very anxious to finish what we started with on the separation. It is very nice and good for America to prepare educationally for slaves that she once had in servitude. The education that we have acquired from white America, it will help us to begin for self anywhere on this earth that we may prefer to go or stay. If we are to stay here with you, we must stay in a separate part of America with you. And the education is still accepted. We need all the education. I must stop and say that we can of good education to help us to go for self. And as far as our reaction to what we have acquired in the way of education, it doesn't mean that we should now be satisfied to remain with you just because that we has now acquired more respect of self in the way of education and can do more better service for you than we have in the past. The thing of it is, since we have acquired enough to make a step out of the house of bondage where that our fathers was enslaved or put in bondage, we should now go, and you should help us to go and provide the necessary means for us to continue going in the way of self. This would also give you a great and a good name. The slave master sent his slave off with the provision to keep going for himself. We need some modern tools now. We don't need to apply a mule. We need a tractor. And we need the land, certainly, that will provide a living and the necessity of life otherwise, such as buildings and other machineries. We want that we can go into as you have went into it and pull out of her treasures the necessary means for us to build a nation for ourselves.
But is this consistent, Mr. Muhammad, with your position? You were saying about the Negro doing things for himself. Then you say the government must turn around and give him all this territory and operate it for him for 20 years.
We think the government is obligated. We have given her 400 years. And now we want to go for ourselves. How are we to get started for ourselves if the slave master is not willing to provide the means for us to go free for ourselves?
In your position on separation, did you feel that the Supreme Court made a mistake in 1954 when it ruled that segregation must end in the public school systems?
No, I don't say the government made a mistake by saying the kind of segregation that we have lived under should be terminated. I don't think she made any mistake there. But I do think the government is making a mistake now to try to hinder us from being separated, since we have already lived under segregation for the past centuries. We would like to be separated and live over here to ourselves, since we cannot get along with you in peace.
Let me take you into another area that we discussed at the opening of the show, Mr. Muhammad. That is your prediction in the book, The Message to the Black Man, that the whites and the non-whites inevitably must come to a war. You really feel that there must be a war between the races?
If you will not submit to the law of justice, freedom, justice, and equality, and submit to do good, certainly, this is the time that good confronts us to rule the people, and not evil. Your history teaches us that you have always warred. In Europe, there was once a 100-year war, 30-year war, and there have continued a war history of your race ever since you had civilization.
But it isn't only the white man, Mr. Muhammad. Every man, white, red, yellow, has always engaged in war just as much as the white man.
You never knew history. It never gave us any knowledge of a war between the brown, yellow, black races before you.
Well, the Chinese and the Japanese warred for many, many centuries. And certainly the blacks in Africa had their tribal wars. And the Muslims and Christianity had the religious wars. War has been a part of man ever since.
That's been in your sphere of ruling the people since 6,000 years. You will mention what happens in the period of 6,000 years. Well, you are the boss there. You started there.
You maintain that the white man, according to this book, has been on this earth only 6,000 years.
Only 6,000.
And that the black man was here many, many years, centuries before.
We don't have no birthday.
But the anthropological facts may differ with you, but this is, of course, according to... your religion, right?
It depends on the man who does the analyzation of this past history of our people, bones and rocks and whatnot.
Your statement of inevitable war is so reminiscent of what Red China has been saying, that the yellow race and with the colored race will fight the white race, that it's a little frightening that you would be on the same beam, the same line of reasoning with him. I wish you'd explain that further.
We cannot move ourselves if we are there by God himself. In the beginning, we are there, and you are there. In the very beginning, we cannot change nothing, and I'm not asking no one to accept any change that I would try and make, because I'm not trying to make one. Everything, Mr. Cup, that I said concerning the truth, whether it's war, whether it's separation of nations, I have it from Bible, Quran, from Jesus, from all the prophets in the past, God himself, and I'm not talking myself. I'm talking what God and his prophets say.
Of course, Mr. Muhammad, Jesus and all the other recognized religious leaders always preached love, not hatred.
I take for an instance, Jesus, he taught love of his father. We used the name he used it. He taught that we should love the Father. We should love the word, the teachings of God. We should love the man that loves God and loves the teachings of God. This was Moses' teaching to Israel, was to love thy God with all thy heart, soul, might, and strength. But you are not taught to love the enemies, the nations that will not love your God and will not allow you to pass through or not allow you to settle in your own land. You should destroy that nation or God will destroy them before you. This is Moses. Then the God goes so far as to say himself that there was two brothers that he loved one and hated the other. God is the first hater. That Jesus also seconds his father in these words, that unless you can hate your mother, brother, sister, father, pick up your cross and come follow me, you cannot be my disciple. You have to hate first there. He gives to us the old well-known teachings there in Matthew. I think it's around Matthew or in John 1. Anyway, it's there in his teaching. Here comes again some more of Jesus' teaching. He mentions this thing of the two brothers, one hated, another loved, to verify his own hatred of the evil people. He did not declare himself as being a lover of all men. He could not be the representative of God if he loved all people, because some people are evil. And a time of judging and meting out sentences to the evil and the contrary people of God is also on the page of history that these prophets put there for us to read and study. Moses did so, and now comes Jesus. He covers his spear of delivering the message to Israel, a final message, and then denounces Israel as being enemies of God, and that a day of judgment is set for your execution. All of this is given right there of the Bible that is put in the words of Jesus. And we continue to have this. And then the beginning, we have it, Moses addressed Israel and Deuteronomy there, saying to Israel that in the very beginning, when we speak of separation, that God separated the sons of Adam. If God saw it more best and peaceful to separate these sons of Adam, brothers, these sons represent brothers. They can't live together. We separate the very sons of Adam and give them a place on the earth and set boundaries for them that they cannot
be entering in and out of the other country without permission. Boundary means that you must have permission to come in my part of the country. And now, all of this is set forth for us in the Bible, in which the Christians say we should believe. If the Christians don't believe in his own Bible, the sayings of his own Bible, how can he preach to us to believe in it? If the Christians don't want to abide by the book that he represents, is from the prophets of God and their sayings, how can then he force us to believe that which he don't believe himself?
Very lavish and splendid home of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the leader of the Nation of Islam, better known to most people as the Black Muslims. And Mr. Muhammad has graciously consented to sit down and chat with us for a while and to explain some of his problems and some of his philosophy of life and religion. Briefly, Mr. Muhammad, what is the purpose and the goal of the Nation of Islam, which you head, better known as the Black Muslims?
It's to reform our people in America and put them to themselves in some place where that they can go for themselves, do for themselves. Well, I don't say the word that I should say. Separate them and give them a chance to do for themselves as other nations.
Is this possible in the day and age we live in to segregate the Negro into a certain state, as you often have said, or a certain area,
well,
and expect
I
them
don't
to live in this world?
Pardon me, sir. I don't believe in segregation, but separation. I don't say that we are trying to force that. This is just on the alternative that I have referred to a separate territory to separate us from the white people whom that we can't get along with in peace.
Yeah.
Being mixed with them and trying to live and demand respect and demand what they have. And this kind of thing causes trouble. And it has caused trouble for a long, long time with us. We are not your equal, and we are demanding equality with you. And yet we have not made ourselves equal to demand equality with you. You're the owner, and you are the builders of your educational system. You are the makers of your law of the land. You are the complete boss. And a slave just cannot get up and say to his master that he's equal with his master until he has made himself equal. And this is causing and has caused lots of trouble in trying to get along with each other in peace. And this is due to also the time and the way that we have been taught. A child come up and never know anyone but that parents. He follow what the parents teach him and never will change unless someone changes him. Therefore, we have your teachings from slavery for 100 years in education